Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 70 is on its way. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant. This is the Portal Gaming Podcast. We are a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Portal Gaming Podcast, a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at Portal Gaming 60. You will reach me, Brant, as I am the one in charge of the Twitter account. This episode, I am entitling Adventure, Excitement. And that line, of course, finishes with, "A Jedi craves not these things." But I think I've already aimed an episode that. So we'll just do the first part, because I am going on an exciting adventure. Headed down to PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia this weekend, so that should be an exciting time. And all that. So, yeah, we finished up the Extra Life event at the store. You heard that last week on the podcast. So that went really well. Thanks for the comments on that. A lot of people have been saying they enjoyed that. Kind of neat, you know, to step away from the focus on the games, put the focus on the kids. So the event went really well. They raised over $3,000. They got up to $100,000 for the year, as you heard. So just an awesome cause. So thanks for everybody for listening, for coming out, for donating, just for being part of that event. We will have more 24-hour events. We'll have a 24-hour event in April, and then we'll do that one again. So there's lots of good stuff going on. And of course, Thursdays and Sundays at the store are board game days. Many days are magic days. D&D is on Thursday nights for the Learn to Play. There's a Pathfinder Society night and miniatures, I think, every day of the week. Starting up Star Wars Destiny is played on Thursday nights as well. So you can come out, play a board game, play some Destiny, get all those things in. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. Excited for PAX Unplugged. I'm going to talk about some of the games that I hope to play there, things I hope to do, what's happening. Actually, I'll just do that. Nah, I'll do it later. So all that'll be happening and whatnot. So I'm excited for that, and we'll see what happens. I have no idea what to expect, but it should be a good time. And, of course, just gearing up for the holiday season, so there's lots of extra stock at the store. There's things being hung around the store and all that. Just really exciting, especially if you go across to the Time Machine where you've got the toys and everything. It's just, you know, really cool time, obviously. People doing their Christmas shopping, their Hanukkah shopping, their just holiday shopping, whatever it is, and decorations. It's here, as much as we want to avoid it. Nope, sorry, we don't want to avoid it. But as much as we may want to avoid it at times, November 1st is that official day now. So there's that. Hey, don't forget to definitely check out both the Portal and the Time Machine on Small Business Saturday. That's a huge day, I know. It's awesome to have that support and lots of good things. Like I said, the store is like overstocked right now. There's boxes and aisles and craziness. So lots of good things. Don't just think of board gamers or yourself, but think of kids, think of family, think of nephews, think of grandmas and grandpas. Everybody could find something fun, maybe a new hobby to do with your family, your loved ones, your kids. Doesn't have to be board games. So there's lots of good things there. So yeah, that's pretty much what's happening there. So I will jump right into what's on my table. Played a bunch lately. First off, I played Clank in Space. So, of course, Renegade Games. This is their follow-up to Clank, I suppose. And like it said, it's Clank on a ship. So you're on a spaceship. You got to get in. You got to steal an artifact off the ship and get out an escape pod. So they made some changes here. They're kind of small and kind of a big deal. So first off, they kind of tried to stop the rush where you could just run in and grab something from Clank. If you're not familiar with Clank, I apologize, but it's a deck builder, play cards, and then you manipulate your piece on the board. So they might tell you to move and things like that. And it's kind of a bit of a race game, although at the end it's point scoring in terms of that. So yeah, anyway, so they changed a little bit. So you've got cards now. You've got a mechanism where you've got to drop off your data cubes to hack the system. You've got a variable board, which seems good. It's kind of puzzle piece, put it together. So you got to hack the system, drop these two data cubes. Then you can get access to the artifacts, steal them, get out. They've got teleport pads. And they've now got a system on the cards with like a match, almost like in Legendary or is that in Ascension? No, but Star Realms, where it's like, oh, you play this character and you get an additional bonus or this card if you just played a character of this card, but you could play it any time on your turn, which I really like that system. It's neat to think of, ooh, what order do I have to play these in? But it's almost like, ah, it's a game I just want to throw everything down. So the updates feel good to me. If you have Clank, I don't know that you need Clank in space. You may want to sell your Clank and get Clank in space. So it's probably better. Also on the track, there's these bounty hunter cubes that go in the bag. When a bounty hunter gets drawn, everybody gets hit for damage. So it kind of prevents that person who just like isn't taking any damage. There's still a little system for them, so they can't just run around scoring points forever. So all that, it was fun. I felt like I said, the improvements just made the game better. So, I'd be interested in having a copy of that instead of Clank. I think you got the sunken treasures in Clank, but they'll probably release something for this. So, good job. Seems good to me. The theme's good. It's fun. I even tried it solo with the app, which only technically works with Clank, and I just managed my way through it. Seemed to work pretty well. So, that is Clank in Space. I think that's a great game to pick up for somebody the holiday season. I think that's a good one to give to a family, kids. A little rough on the learn, like for somebody going in cold, but I use it as a gateway game to teach people myself, to hand it off to somebody that could be a little bit tougher. But, I think it's a great pickup. If somebody doesn't have Clank, no brainer, get them Clank in space. I got a chance to play Cry Havoc from Portal Games. So Cry Havoc came out last year. This is a dudes on a map game with asymmetric powers, kind of some card play and limited turns and actions and whatnot. So we played this four player. The Trog shot out to a big lead. We then realized we got a rule wrong where they only get half points, pulled them back. The humans were really then just geared up. They have that ability where they can drop, they could just drop like a token to take control of an empty space. And that just really seemed tough. Brian was the machines and I was the pilgrims. And I have this like Euro point scoring mechanism. I kind of got it going at the end with all the joking about I'm not going to get anywhere, but just not enough. And Brian is supposed to be a killing machine, literally killing machines. And he did a lot of that, but not a lot of point scoring. And we kind of got tied up. We were tripping over each other and we were low score. I mean, literally, we were at like 5 and 8 points. And the other people were in the 30s. And then we scored a decent amount at the end. We scored like 30 points at the end and they had scored like 10 or 15. So the humans pull it out. So it's kind of one of those like, ooh, we scored points, but we never really came back. We just got to 30, and then they shot ahead into the 40s and 50s. So I still really like this game. Inevitably, every time I make a rules mistake of some major part, in this case, we scored the wrong points, and the minutes go after Trogs, blah, 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 blah. There's just a lot of like balance, and the players really need to know the game. So very much it's in the vein of StarCraft, and it feels like StarCraft at first was just everybody just runs at each other, but then eventually you figure out like this is how they work, and just I don't play it consistently to get there, and I'm always teaching new people, and we just trip over rules and whatnot with the game, and it lasts longer than we want it to. But I've had some really good games this. I've even had some really good two-player games. So I still really like Cry Havoc, but it just doesn't go over well the first time with people. It's really interesting. And it does feel like sometimes there could be somebody who gets ahead, but I really feel like you have to play the game out. Even when somebody gets up by 30 points, you have to play it out and see, because there's decent ways to score points and to change the tide of battle. So somebody gets that initial scorecard, because you only score if somebody plays a scorecard. So sometimes somebody plays on the first or second round, it's like poof, they score all these points, and you're like, oh, that's it. But then they can't play theirs again. So, and they don't necessarily get in that same position. So it's kind of interesting in that front. So that's Cry Havoc from Portal Games. I'm excited to try the expansion, Aftermath. So hopefully I'll get a look at this. I'm actually going to be at the Portal booth, so definitely should get a look at this. Adds new buildings because everybody's got unique buildings. It adds a leader, so you have like a two-sided card, so you can have a special ability for your leader. It adds common buildings and it adds new skill cards. So all that's good. Just more in the mix seems good to me. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Definitely get a chance to check that out. Report back. Then I got to play Samara from TMG, Tasty Minstrel Games. So Samara is like this calendar worker placement game. So you're supposed to start in the month you're in. So we would start in November, And we put all our pieces there, and then you lay out a calendar going forward, and there's kind of these rows and columns, and you have workers, and you have to use like one, two, three, or four workers if you want something in the first, second, third, or fourth row. And then you have to move to that column, which is that month. So if I want something, you know, if I'm in November and I want something in the next March, I have to move forward that many spaces with that many workers. And you're allowed to quote unquote take vacation to just hop forward. So you have all your workers in one spot so you can do that. And then you're just grabbing these buildings that give abilities and points, and you just keep cycling through, and the calendar rotates and rotates and rotates. So everything slides down to the left, as you know, there's nothing in the calendar behind. So some okay systems here. I wouldn't really recommend the game. It's got some neat ideas, but it just kind of plays out to a very meh game. It's like 30 to 40 minutes. It's kind of innovative, but not really in an exciting way, just in a like, all right, well, that's different. I haven't seen that. But you know, you score a bunch of points or some abilities, there's a little bit of take that. I don't even know that it feels inevitable. It's just kind of there. So that was Samara Tasty Minstrel Games. Not really a recommend for me, but you know, if you're looking for a 30 to 40 minute, I don't like hedging my review. I just didn't really like it. So there you go. But you may. So that's that. And then I also have gotten to play Codenames Disney Family Edition. So I didn't know really what to expect. Love Codenames Duet. Could live without Codenames Pictures. This doesn't do it for me. So I grabbed Codenames Disney to play with my daughter, and she had a friend over, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, we want to play that." And we just played and played and played and played, and they caught on to this game. And I've had this issue, like using this in high schools and middle schools, and kids just didn't latch on to Codenames, but this Disney one worked. Now, granted, they were giving a lot of one clues, and every so often a two, and the twos would be very vague, like purple. And then you have to figure out what they think is the most purple, or what was purple that stood out to them. But they were totally into it. We were taking turns. We were playing, I give clues to both of them and see who wins. They're on a team giving clues to me, and then we cover up the other one, kind of a la the original two-player rules. Played with my wife and my daughter. It's really hard. So what it has is it has two-sided cards. One side is the picture from Disney, so you've got Belle, and then on the back it says Princess Belle, or it just says Belle. Or you've got scenery, so it might be a castle, and then it says Cinderella's Palace on the back side, or something like that. Cinderella's Castle? I don't know if she has a palace or a castle. I probably should know that. So that's kind of what's happening. So we've really only played with the picture side. I haven't gone to the word side, although that seems brutal. But it's amazingly hard to make a connection. Like, okay, I've got the Beast, and I've got Belle on the board, so I want to, and those are two of mine, so I want to say Beauty or something that gives them the clue to that. But the problem is, I have something else on the board from that movie, like Lumiere or something, and I don't want them to say that, so that doesn't work. So you start getting to colors and hats and clothing. You don't really make a Disney connection, but it's still fun. It's interesting that the clues become so vague. You'd think you could come up with these creative, like, oh, this is how I connect Peter Pan to Pinocchio, but it's hard. It's interesting. So the other thing that's in there to make it family is instead of a 5x5 grid, sorry, it has 5x5 grid cards with assassins. I think they're just called like the Game Ender. I don't think they call it the Assassin in the Family Edition. But it also has a set of 4x4 grids with no assassin. So it's just like six blue, five red, and I should know the other number, five neutral. So then you just play like that. So it's a little bit smaller of a grid, less to go through. I mean, Codenames is usually short, but you know, it could be overwhelming to get to eight or whatever it normally is, nine. So that's a whole bunch. So it just brings that down, and that has just been beautiful because games are just 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and then we can switch and somebody else can play. It's really engaging. It's really good. It's fun to have Disney. My wife and I want to try Disney Codenames Duet and play our little Codename Duet campaign with these, but haven't gotten a chance to do that yet. again, hard to tell me, like, oh, you must go pick up a copy of this. If you have Codenames, you're probably set. If you prefer pictures, you're probably set. But if you love Disney, you have a family, you could bring this to your Thanksgiving, you could bring this to your Christmas. I think this just opens an avenue. Like, people see Disney and they think, oh, okay, that's a game I'll play. As opposed to, like, Codenames with this Czechoslovakian name on it. I don't know if I want to play that. And a bunch of words that can be overwhelming in that situation, that, you know, family party situation or whatever. But I think this might work there. So it's cool. I think it literally costs $10 more because of the license on Disney. So that might be a little bit of an issue. But it has had overwhelming success in my house. So from that standpoint, I have to give it huge props. And there I know my daughter would say, like, this is the definitive edition. So you can take it or leave it. If you hate Disney, avoid this at all costs. I don't hate Marvel by any means, but I know there's the Marvel edition too, and there's stacks of them. There's stacks of Codenames, stacks of duets, stacks of pictures, stacks of Marvel, stacks of Disney at the Time Machine especially. The Portal, there's a few of each as well, but I know this will sell to families. But the Marvel one just doesn't do it for me. I can name characters, but like to make connections as to which comic books they're in. And there's probably half the characters I cannot name. So that's one I'm going to avoid, not out of hate, but just out of not knowing exactly. So there's that. You know what? I got a few more things. So we've been playing Gloomhaven again. So I still haven't bought that insert. I really want to buy an insert, and I don't know. I don't know whether to buy Meeple Realty or Broken Token or Foam One or Daedalus. I just have no idea. But our deal was, if we're still playing this game in October, we're going to get an insert for the box. But now I don't know. I always leave the box open with the two halves and have everything there. So I really just want my characters organized. and so, yeah, we'll have to see about that. But anyway, so, yeah, we've been playing Gloomhaven again. We weren't really big on our characters. It's my wife and I. And we have the first printing, so we didn't get the second printing in. We already had the first one I've been talking about a bunch. So we've been playing Gloomhaven again. And, we didn't really like these characters. Sorry, I'm repeating myself. I apologize. I'm staring off into space. So we were like, all right, well, let's keep playing them, and maybe we'll switch over, or we'll have to see. And, you know, there are six initial characters. We only played with two. So if you don't like a character, you can always stop and start another character. There's no shortage of characters. There's shortage of new characters, but no shortage of characters. And so we were doing a lot of, like escort-type quests and, like, time-oriented things. We had one, sorry for the spoiler, one was open all the doors. And that was just bugging us. I think we had to do it five times. Eventually, we're just going to say we passed it because we couldn't do anymore. But we did beat it on the fifth time in terms of that. And so we got there, and then we realized, oh, we're triggering my wife's quest to retire. So she'll go into retirement. We actually did one mission last night, one more mission or quest or scenario, whatever they are, and she will retire and we'll get a new character. So we're totally down with that. We're going to do that. This game is just so good. It's so good. To me, it's just hands down the best game of this year. I know people don't like when you say that. We got to play this whole stock of Essen games, and I'm super excited for them. But for me, this is just the best experience we've had. Now, I've been begging my wife to try to play Pandemic Legacy Season 1 with me, and she just has no interest. I feel like if she was interested in that, we might like that experience better. Because it's a little more self-contained. Gloomhaven's really open. But we love this dungeon crawl. The decisions are just so good. It's so much better than dice to like make your own decisions what you're going to do, even if you get stuck. I don't know. It's just really engaging. The stories are okay. It's nice that they have stories. They could be really short, but they're pretty full. We're not super involved in that. I feel like that could be a little bit tighter. Like, it would be cool if there was this clear main quest line and these side quests, so you knew you were doing some story that you could resolve, and then you could follow the main story. But it almost is like Isaac made it more like the story is just evolving around you, and you have to figure out what the main quest is and what these other ones are. It's almost like he made several side key branching ones there. So it's interesting. I wouldn't say that's the reason that we're there. The gameplay is so good. The character development is amazing. Getting all these different cards with different abilities. So we're pretty much back on board with Gloomhaven. It's funny because, you know, Kathy's cool with learning a new game, but just not all the time. And so it's always that, like, Is it Gloomhaven now, or are we learning something new, or going back to it old? And we just keep sticking to Gloomhaven. So I've got to get that insert. Maybe when I'm at PAX, maybe I'll find one there and bring it back. Yeah, so I know that second printing is coming out and people are getting their copy. So I'm really interested in hearing what people think. I haven't played Seven Continent. I know people have been loving that. I'm obviously excited for, well, you'll see what I'm excited for with Essen. Yeah, we really liked Near and Far, but it's a much more self-contained. And to me, that's just the difference. Near and Far was this fun set of, five quests that we did, but this one we've played 30 scenarios now. So, there's just even more to explore and it keeps going. So, Gloomhaven has been awesome. Speaking of Pandemic Legacy, we finally finished. My daughter and I played through, and we pretty much just had December left. And I told her that the new one came out and she really wanted it and wants to play it. And so I'm trying to figure out the best timing. I was thinking like, oh, well, over our Christmas break, we'll try to break that out and do that, and I'll get that. But she's building up that excitement. So we finished December. We beat it. We won. We crushed it. We did super well, a little too well, but it was great. And she really liked it. The last game, even she was in. The games still tend to be a little too long for her attention. You'll get that 45, 55 minutes. That's a little bit long, so she gets a little bit bored. But she loves opening all this package and doing all that stuff. So she's begging me for season two, but I'm glad I finished season one. The story was great. There's a twist at the end, which is great. So if you haven't played it, and yeah, the beginning twist is awesome, which isn't the first one. Spoiler. That's awesome. And then there's a couple more twists as you go through, one a little bit more major, some minor, and then there's a great twist at the end. So play it through if you haven't. I know so many people have. I'm gonna be way behind the eight ball with season two. I'm sure there's people that are far, far finished with that. So I'll have to see how this works. I'm a little nervous with my daughter. She's turning eight, and it sounds like season two really kind of ramps it up in the difficulty, and I'm not sure that she'll be with me, so have to see how that goes. There's that. Yeah, so I've got my other one that I was playing with Brian and Co, and we got through like April or May or something, and I really want to finish that one out. So I don't know if anybody out there is interested. I would finish out that first season as well and see. But yeah, so those are all the things on my table. Gloomhaven still reigns, overall, super good. But I've got some games that I'm excited to play. Actually, this Kansas Pacific looks like a really cool light train game, like in the train, buy stocks and earn money fashion. It's very straightforward. It's just kind of single coins and quick turns and not a lot of fancy track. In fact, there's no track in the game. You just plop little wooden trains down. I really want to try that to see if like a lighter train game works a little better. But it's not like family weight light. I wouldn't put it there. It probably ends up being a medium game. And then I've got Circus Train, which I've heard is really good. And it's supposed to be really good solo. So I'm interested in trying that. Colon Colony. Actually, I'm gonna, yeah. So, bunch of stuff there. That's what's on my table. So you can let me know what's on yours. You can tweet me at PortalGaming60, or you can email me, PortalGamingPodcast@gmail.com. Just going to keep going as I do when I'm solo. It's probably going to be a short episode because I'm talking really fast. And I'm tired and I'm still packing for PAX. So, yeah, a little bit my bad. It was supposed to be Brian and I, and I didn't coordinate well. Both our wives are out this evening, and we are with our respective kids. So, even though I can go outside my house and almost shout to Brian at his house, because he's about 3/4 of a mile from me, we can't do the podcast together. So, that's my bad. I had planned to do it tonight, and he thought I was coming over there, and I was like, oh! So, didn't work out, but I actually haven't done a solo episode in a while. Now I'm just blabbing about things that people don't care about. Ooh, I'm looking over here though, and I realized I played Oh My Goods, the Revolt, Longsdale in Revolt, the little expansion, and I did that solo, and that was interesting. I really like Oh My Goods, Alexander Pfister. And, this is so confusing. I feel all out of whack. I'm getting all Rado Spacey over here. All right. So anyway, yeah, no, it's good, but I really want to try it multiplayer because solo is like you have to win, otherwise you repeat. and it kind of takes away from the story to keep trying to win. Whereas in multiplayer, it's just whoever wins gets points and you move on. Or really, it's not even gets points, it's just somebody wins and you move on, and there's penalties for not achieving the objectives on points. So if I don't do the objective and Kathy does, she's going to get victory points and I'm not, bonus, and I'm going to have some taken away. So she's probably going to win the game. And I kind of want to do that to just kind of play like 5 sessions and knock it out, as opposed to like keep trying to win, keep trying to win, keep trying to win, because some of them are tough. But that was cool, and we have some copies at the store, so that's really neat if you haven't played that. Okay, discussion topic. Here we go. So Essen excitement, PAX previews, all that kind of stuff. So let me give you details for PAX. I am heading down there. I will be there on Friday. I'm going to be working the Dice Tower booth, so I think the thing opens at 10 a.m. I am at the Dice Tower booth from 11 to 1. I will be helping Tom and Co. there, and whatnot. I know Gary will be there too. He's going to work the Dice Tower booth, I think, Saturday and Sunday. Jason, who's been on the podcast here, is also going to be down there. He's working at the Renegade booth, I think demoing the whole time, so good luck to him. So yeah, I'll be at Dice Tower to be helping them out and whatnot. Just doing what I can, wearing my Portal shirt, or my Dice Tower shirt, I don't know, whichever. And then I'm gonna head over to the Portal booth. Ignacy will be there, Ignacy Trocheck, the owner of Portal Games, and I'm working with Anthony and Paul and Kevin, I think, is gonna be there from Cardboard Jungle. And I'm gonna be demoing Alien Artifact, which I have played once, that Ignacy demoed to me at Dice Tower Con. And now I'm going to be demoing it, but I watched my Rodney Smith watch it played. I did not read through the rule book, but I'm going to do that, and I'll be good to go. The first one, I may have a couple hiccups on some exceptional rules, but other than that, I'm good to go. So I'm kind of like honing my craft for how I'm going to introduce the game, because that's big to me in a demo. Like, welcome to this world, and this is what's happening, and boom, 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 go. I call it the Paul Grogan style, where I just want to make people play, not explain every rule. And just kind of as we go. So I'm going to be there 2 to 4, so you could stop in and see me there if you're going to PAX. And then Saturday, same thing. I will be at the Portal booth 2 to 4. And then I'm just going to be wandering. So going to be trying to play games. It sounds like there will not be a lot of Essen games to purchase, but there is a first look area, and that is probably where you can find me, because I love playing games. I like meeting people and doing all that stuff, and I don't want to deny that. But you know, it's a shorter convention. I'll be working some of that, so I'm going to be down there trying out a bunch of those games. So these are the things I am excited about, and I've got a brief rundown for them. So Agra is from Quinid Games. This is Michael Keller. He designed La Granja. It's supposed to be a heavy Euro worker placement. Looks interesting. I haven't seen a lot of reports. I saw a review from Man vs. Meeple, but it wasn't really a review. It was just, we need to play this more, and that's kind of lame for a review. And here's all the mechanisms. So it looks really neat, looks involved. I'm excited to try that out. Gaia Project, no brainer. Terra Mystica game. Terra Mystica is my favorite game. Ooh, Gloomhaven. Gaia Project is Terra Mystica in space. So yeah, that's a no doubt. If I can get my hands on that game, I will. Do you know I don't own Terra Mystica? Yeah. So I don't own Terra Mystica, it's my favorite game. So I need to buy Gaia Project if I can. Montana is a Euro game with a spinner. So that sounds kind of interesting. It sounds like it's a lighter weight game, not even a medium game. So there is that. Altiplano, this is Orleans 2.0. Saw the Vassal review. He compared the two. He said he still likes Orleans better, but he's keeping both of them. He likes both. I think if I could get a copy of Altiplano, I would, because my wife's adores Orleans and we don't have it. So you can see this is the life of me. I have all these games I borrow and demos and everything from people, so I don't all of a sudden when a game goes back, I'm like, oh, I don't actually have that game anymore. But that's okay. So if I could get a hold of this game, I feel like this is the one we would have. It sounds like it's a little more in depth, and that could be good, but depth could it could be a sidestep more than a deep step. So yeah, we'll see about that. That's going to be coming from Renegade. It's DLP Games in Europe, but it's going to be Renegade Games here first quarter. But I'll see if I can get my hands on a copy. I don't really expect to get any of these games, but I want to play them. Nusfjord is Uwe Rosenberg. It's a fishing game. It's got a little bit of stock in it and other things. So it sounds interesting. I'm not a huge Glass Road fan, but a lot of people are. But I haven't really played a lot of Glass Road, so I may need to try it again. So this one sounds interesting. It didn't sound like it was amazing, but I want to try it. Kali Mama is a Spielworks release. Just listen to the Heavy Cardboard review. They said, like, it all hinges on this one mechanism. If you like this one mechanism, that is the game. It's 45 minutes to an hour, plays well, plays smoothly, but it's like you have to like that, love that mechanism, and you'll love the game. Otherwise, that's the game. So, interesting there. Transatlantic is the new game from Mark M Mac? Uh-oh. Mac Gertz? Uh-oh. I don't remember. It's supposed to be Concordia in the Atlantic. So you're going through there. I guess it doesn't have a map, and so that's a little bit of a takeaway, but it has some interesting other decisions. So definitely want to try Transatlantic. I think that's Rio Grande. Loot Island is a What's Your Game game. I think this is a very lighter end of them, like Oddville. And it's got a little bit of pressure luck and some random elements, which is not typical of What's Your Game, but love to try that. Rajas of the Ganges is the new Incas and Marca brand game, kind of a medium weight euro. The interesting piece here is you've got your fame track and your money track, and if they both start on opposite ends, and if they touch, you win. So you're trying to either collect fame or money or both, and that's how you win. So that sounds kind of cool. I think it's a dice worker placement game. Otis is from Pearl Games. They made Deus most famously. I believe they also made Brussels 1893. Look at all these euros, but this is what happens when you have Essen. And it's got deep sea diving theme, so sounds interesting. People are giving it pretty good ratings, so that sounds good. Dragon's Gate College looks really good to me. This is NSKN. This is a Harry Potter game. Again, dice placement, kind of, or dice drafting more, I guess, here, and then engine building. You've got your professors and your students in your magic school, and you're trying to send them on quests and hire new professors and train your students to be better. Looks really cool. Azul is a highly rated abstract game. This is from Plan B Games, who famously have Century Spice Road or Century Golem Edition, whichever you like. So if I can get my hands on that, sorry, I don't. When I say that, I just mean play. I'm not buying. But there's that element. Noria is got a lot of unique mechanisms. It's got Clemens Franz and Michael Mendel artwork, and it's from Sophia Wagner, first time designer, published by Stronghold Games. I think it's not out from Stronghold yet, but really supposed to be unique, so definitely want to check that one out. Keeper is from I can't remember his name all of a sudden. Anyway, same guy that made Keyflower. And it's the newest one in that series. It's been getting some pretty good ratings. We'll have to see what happens here. So there's that. Indian Summer, never Uwe Rosenberg, like Cottage Garden. Never played Cottage Garden. Not sure that the whole tile laying thing is that my cup of tea, although I don't understand. I think Patchwork is amazing. And people keep saying how they don't like Pat. Well, I guess I listen to Dice Tower too much. Because people do like Patchwork a lot, and they don't understand. I think Patchwork is amazing, but the other ones are kind of okay to me. I could take them or leave them. Venus Next, expansion to Terraforming Mars. Not a very popular game from last year, but people apparently want this, so there's that. Santa Maria, I'm really interested in. I think this is another dice drafting midweight euro. I know Eric Sommer really liked this, so I want to try this. Pulsar 2849 is the new CGE game. This looks really good. Really excited for that. Space theme, going out, exploring, lots of variability, tech powers, all sorts of things. And it's Vladimir Sushi, who made Prodigal's Club and Last Will and a shipping game, Shipyard. So that sounds really exciting. And then Charterstone is the new game from J.B. Stegmeyer and Stonemeyer Games, and it is a Euro worker placement legacy game, and I think that if I can get this, I've got a three-player group at night, weeknights, that could knock this out. I think it's like 12 games, and I'm pretty excited for that with stickers and everything. So those are my games of interest for PAX slash Essen. Looks really good. Pretty much all Euros. There's not a lot there otherwise. There are some things like the Justice League game and a bunch of those like dexterity games, Meeple Circus and stuff that look interesting as well. But I tend to think Euros when I think this. I think I'm sliding towards that scale. As much as I say I'm an Omni gamer, these are the kind of ones that excite me for the most part in terms of what's happening. But yeah, other than that, I'll be there. I'll be seeing the sites, meeting people. I'm amazed with all the media people. Seeing on Twitter today, Rodney Smith and Marty Cannell, Watch It Play, and Rolling Dice Take Names with Matt Evans from Board Game Replay were just driving through from Boston, and they drove right by and had a sandwich in Vernon, Connecticut, right next to the store, and then kept driving on 84 and waved to the store. So that was cool. They're headed there. And Rob Rouse coming up from Blue Peg Ping Peg, Secret Cabal, Pennsylvania there. I think Jeff Engelstein's going. And all sorts of people that are coming in. Mandy's flying in from Toronto. She's not Toronto. From Canada. See, I don't know anything about Canada. Hoping to play a game of Kalis with her because she's never played Kalis. So that should be exciting. So these are things I'm going to do. I'm going to go down and play a bunch of games and work at the booths. And if I can acquire anything, I will. And if I can't, I can't. So we'll just go from there and see what happens. But should be exciting. Should be a good time. So if not, we'll report back to you. I should do a podcast with at least Larry and myself driving back. Brian's not going to make it. It's just too busy at the store with the holiday season. So that's where he's going to be. Yeah, fast episode. Last week was a fast episode. But I don't have a time. I just talk and we talk and then it's over. And sometimes I talk quickly. But I got a lot of packing to do. Games to bring, all sorts of stuff, although I'm only going to bring like three games. Well, I'm going to bring like 2 to 3 big games and then a handful of small games, and that's it. And go from there, so we'll see what's there, and that's what I'm going to do. But should be a good time, so we'll report back to you from there. And yeah, and then we'll be into the Christmas season here. So that's it. See you, everybody. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving, all those things, and hope to see you around the store, around the internet, around the world, etc. That's it from me, everybody. So until next time, I hope you step into the pool. Board Game Podcast is the product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on November 14, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamepodcast@gmail.com. Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And thanks for listening.